outside wall and out of the race early, continuing a rough start to his season.
We weren't running that great, but we were, you know, working on our car and trying to figure out how to get it to run better and get something out of today. But we're going to have another bad finish. We had a lot of them this year. It's going to be tough.
See the complete results now at MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Hawkeye football fans, what'd you think of Friday night under the lights at Kinnick Stadium? 319-366-1600 off and running for the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. I'm Todd Brommelkamp. Jeff Downing sitting on the other side of the glass waiting to hear from you again. The number is 366-1600. Iowa under the lights at Kinnick Stadium for the first time ever for a spring football game. Good idea, bad idea? Did you like it? Did you go? We want to hear from you. 366-1600. I thought it was a great idea. I don't know whether it went over all that well with the fans. The attendance was a little bit less than I was expecting to see. But I do think that the people who went probably enjoyed themselves. At least the people I saw as I was heading down out of the field toward the final waning minutes of the spring game on Friday, they seemed to be in a good mood. They seemed to enjoy the fact that they were able to watch a little bit of football in the middle of April in Iowa. The weather cooperated. It wound up being an okay night. And there are some people out there speculating that this was sort of a dry run for what it would be like for Iowa to host a Friday night football game. The Big Ten is toying around with those. Now, there's not one on Iowa's schedule in the near future, but that can always change at a moment's notice. I don't necessarily think it was that. I do think that this was Iowa trying to carve out a little bit of time on the Big Ten Network, which it did on a delayed basis. The broadcast started at 8:30, so it was about an hour and a half behind in real time. But I thought John Campbell and everybody there involved with the TV broadcast did a fantastic job. 366-1600, let's hear from someone. It's been a while, week or so. Sonny in Iowa City wants to talk Hawkeye football. Go ahead, Sonny.
Hey, guys. I don't know how this could possibly be considered a dry run for a Friday night football game. There's so many different things in play for that. Let's call it what it is. This is a hype situation. It's a long time between football games for college football fans. And, you know, I was surprised this year to see how many spring football games were actually televised. I remember a time when you would actually have a game as opposed to sort of just these loose practices. But I can't blame anybody for not having a game after I watched that one Southern team have two guys blow each other up and one get carted off. I wouldn't really want that to happen either, but it's good. I think having it under the lights is just another great opportunity, and people just want to get out and cheer for the Hawks and have hope. It's like the Cubs before they won a World Series. Every year is a new year.
Appreciate the phone call, Sonny. Yeah, I wasn't buying the dry run Friday night football thing either. Most of the hospital workers get off around 4:30, I think, and so there was probably a little bit of traffic, and that really is going to be the biggest hurdle for Iowa is if they were to do a Friday night home game, how would you deal with the traffic and the workers at the hospital and everything there? Now, it's no different than on a Saturday morning, at least in my opinion, because you've still got access to the hospital, which is a little bit of an issue, but it's more so complicated on a Friday night with people trying to leave, trying to get out of that area while other people are coming into the area. Now, I'll say this, and granted, we left a little bit late because we were on the air until 7 o'clock at Coach's Corner Friday, so there wasn't any traffic to battle. And I was kind of surprised by that, how quickly I shot down Melrose and got to the stadium and got into my parking spot. But they had a decent crowd. I know Iowa said 16,500. I would take the under on that, but the west side of the stands at Kinnick Stadium were relatively well-populated, and it was just nice to be able to go and see what resembled a game as opposed to the practices that we've seen in the past. This all started about 10, 12 years ago for Kirk Ferentz when they were renovating Kinnick Stadium during the spring, and he used that as an opportunity to sort of scale back on the spring game model. And then it just always sort of stayed that way until Iowa was getting ignored by the Big Ten Network during spring practices, and everybody else was getting their games on TV. And so now Iowa has capitulated a little bit to the BTN and said, you want to put us on Friday night, even if it's on a delay? I think
Wisconsin was on before
game
Iowa was
on before Iowa's. But even if it's on a delay, go ahead and get us on the network. And if you're the Big Ten Network, you're a lot happier to put a delayed spring football game on than you are to run softball or baseball. More people care about football. It's just the way that things are. 366-1600. Let's head to Tipton and bring John on board, who wants to talk about Friday night spring football. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Yeah, you kind of answered my question. After I watched the Iowa at 8:30, and I watched the Wisconsin and the Rutgers, I thought the Iowa out of the three were definitely the worst. I thought Iowa looked terrible besides Torin Young and the Gervais guy out of Assumption from Davenport. But honestly, I do not think Iowa is. They might win six games. I mean, they might win seven. I mean, God bless them. I mean, hope they do better. I just don't see anything coming from the offense, and they have no receivers. I just don't see anything from the Iowa in the next 2 years that's going to have any inkling of his son or whatever that's coming down the pipeline for Iowa football. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks for the phone call, John. There's a lot of fruit on that particular tree to pick. Let me reach up and grab one of the low-hanging pieces here. 2 years? You're going to take 2 years worth of Iowa football just off of one open practice on a Friday night? I don't necessarily think that that's fair to the Hawkeyes at all. I've seen highlights from other spring games. There's a lot of teams that don't look very good this time of the year. And that's the whole point of spring football, which, by the way, defensively, one of their better players isn't even on campus yet because he's going to be a true freshman in the fall. None of the freshmen are there. You're basically going to battle against yourself with a roster that's at about 75% full strength. If it's that, due to injuries, Jeremy Smith sitting on the sidelines, which I still think is a real wild card. Kirk Ferentz said after the game was over on Friday night that the ball is still in his court, that they hope that he chooses to return. But whatever that academic situation was, they're trying to send a message to him. Matt Vandenberg is out with the injury. So you're looking at a team that's extremely handicapped as far as numbers go. And I think back to Kirk Ferentz's very first spring game in 1999, where you had Nebraska looming in the season opener, and you want to talk about vanilla. I mean, they didn't do anything that day. They're not going to run a bunch of halfback option passes, flea flickers, things like that. Boy, I think it's awfully unfair to say that, you know, they might win six, they might win seven, they might win 12. You don't know based off of one night, and I'm trying to be as respectful as I can to John there, but they might win six. Okay, that's fair, but they also might win 9 or 10 and shock the world.
There are some legitimate...
I wouldn't bet on it.
But. No, I wouldn't either, but there are some legitimate concerns right now with this team, and I think that you can say that about every year, but this year, I think, is a little bit more unique when you have a new quarterback and you saw what you saw from the quarterbacks and it wasn't pretty. That team doesn't have a number one receiver right now. Their number one receiver is injured. They think he's going to be back during for the fall. You don't know. But that was a team without their number one running back, without their number one receiver, like you said, Todd, missing some guys due to injury. They don't have the freshmen aren't here yet. Wait till the fall. Now, if these problems are still there at Kids Day, and maybe there's a little bit more reason for alarm. If there's 1 week before the season and both quarterbacks still look like they did this past Friday night, there is a reason for concern. But until then, just I have been baited into these knee-jerk reactions based on what I saw at the spring game and based on what I've seen at preseason scrimmages, and each time it has come back to bite me in the ass because I was completely wrong. So I understand that there are some really big concerns for this team, but I'm going to wait and see. I'm not going to tell other people how to react, but I'm going to wait and see.
Hawk fans, what'd you think? 319-366-1600. And even if you don't want to talk about what you saw on the field, just the idea of the Friday night spring game itself. 366-1600. Let's hear from Kirk Ferentz on one of the guys who did look really good, and that was Jake Gervais out of the Quad Cities, a guy who basically got his opportunity to step forward and shine because Brandon Snyder tore his ACL. He is very unlikely to be able to play this season, which means that Gervais' time is now. And he steps up with three interceptions, and really, as Kirk Ferentz said, if this were another sport, it would be an easy call on who the MVP of the game was.
Yeah, it looked like he had the script. He really looked like he got good jumps on those balls, read them well, and made some good plays, certainly. So if this was hockey, he'd be the number one star of the game, no question about that. But it's good. Jake's worked hard to that point. He's had a good spring practice, and he was doing a lot of good things last year. He's played well on special teams, so yeah, he's kind of climbing the ladder each and every step. I think Monty Hooker's done the same. He's improved a lot, and Clayburgh's barely been back there, but he's throwing some good things as well. So obviously with Brandon being out, we're going to need help from everybody, and it looks like we have a couple guys trying to step up and help us out.
And nobody did a better job of that than Jake Gervais. I don't know too much about him. I think he went to Assumption. Scott Unash and I were talking a little bit about him in the office earlier today. I think, has a better chance of making an impact on this team moving forward than other guys that we've seen over the last 15, 20 years that have had tremendous performances in the spring game, because this is an opportunity without some of the freshmen and with the graduating seniors out of the picture for guys that are second or third, maybe fourth on the depth chart, to step up, catch a ball, maybe break a tackle or something, and really open some eyes. But Gervais is going to play in the fall. I think Torrin Young is going to be that. Brian Ferentz's term was 1B, 1B, 1C, all the way down the line behind Akram Wadley. Torrin Young looked very good, in my opinion, on Friday. He was running hard, almost as if that was an actual game out there. But you heard Kirk Ferentz talking about Jake Gervais. Here is Gervais himself recapping a little bit of his performance Friday night.
It was a lot of fun. Coach Parker stresses getting turnovers. All the credit goes to my teammates, just being in the right place at the right time. D-line, getting pressure on the quarterback. Coach Parker putting us in the right schemes, right coverage on the back end. And I just try to make a play on the ball. I had a lot of fun doing it, but nothing's guaranteed. It was a good day, but I got to be ready to work going into summer and fall camp.
That almost sounds like Nuke LaLoosh from Bull Durham. If he could have squeezed a cut, that is the most Iowa answer. If you took a football player and his personality and you put them into the Play-Doh factory and you pushed the lever down and you got Kirk Ferentz's type of football player afterwards, that, give all the credit to the team. I'm just out there doing my job. Good Lord willing, some days you win, some days you lose, and some days it rains.
Can we have honesty hour right now? I'm probably ripping this off from Tyler Ryder, but I don't care.
There's no honesty hour about it. You are, yes.
Honesty hour. I went through some of the audio that we got from the players, and I thought it would be good to get some Nate Stanley.
It's mind-numbing, isn't it?
It is, and I thought it'd be good to get some Nate Stanley cuts on the air today, but literally nothing that he said was on air that I could put on it. It was I'm just going to do what's best for the team and move forward. It is crazy just the way that how predictable some of these quotes are. And it's I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing. I'm just saying they all sound exactly the same.
All credit to the teammates. And look, what else is the kid going to say? Now, like Farron said, it's almost like he had the script. That's sort of a wink and a nod to the fact that, yeah, these guys all know what's going on because it's their playbook. They're out there going up. They see what the offense is working on. And Farron did say he was going to reserve judgment on the quarterbacks until he was able to look at the tape and see whether it was just Gervais, who was doing a fantastic job of making plays out there, or whether maybe the quarterbacks were tipping their cards a little bit, which it could be a 50-50 split at that point. But obviously, one of the guys who stood out, you mentioned Torrin Young, who ran quite well at running back. And outside of that, you may, maybe Noah Fant at tight end. The tight end's getting an opportunity to due in large part to the fact that there were very few wide receivers who were able to step up and get anything done. No one's talking about the linebackers today, which I don't think anybody really expected to talk about them all that much. And the defense was clearly ahead of the offense, and that's 9 times out of 10 exactly what you get in a spring game.
Now, my question is for you, Todd, and you asked this before the spring game, and you were talking about the quarterback position in particular, and this isn't relating to the quarterback position because I don't think we've talked about this, that neither of them were exactly great, but what happens if Amani Hooker is named the starting free safety coming out of camp over Jake Gervais? It's not going to have the same, it's not going to resonate the same as if one of the quarterbacks looked better and the other quarterback was named starter, but what do you think about that?
I think you'd have a lot of Iowa fans that would be thinking Amani Hooker must be in line to, you know, win the Jim Thorpe Award or something. I mean, they would probably take that as, well, Gervais was fantastic in the spring, so Hooker must be better. Ferentz has always said he sort of takes an open book going into fall camp, that nobody's guaranteed a job. I think he said that when Stansy was the quarterback. He said it when Beathard was the quarterback. Nobody's guaranteed anything, although a guy like Desmond King probably was last year. I think they're going to have a lot of open, spirited competition. And for the most part, the guys that are 1 and 2 on the depth chart right now are going to remain 1 and 2 on the depth chart. But Gervais getting his opportunity due in large part to the injury to Brandon Snyder, and boy, did he make the most of it Friday night. 366-1600. Join the conversation. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Let us know how you feel about the Hawkeyes after watching them on Friday night under the lights at Kinnick Stadium. 366-1600. Another Midwest One Bank Big Board update and NBA playoff talk with Fred Hoiberg and the Chicago Bulls on the way after this.
When you need help with your garage door, it's a lot easier to ask one person with hands-on experience a few questions than it is to drive over to the big door companies and get passed around until you finally get to speak to the person who can answer your questions. Well, Olinger Garage Door is a small company with dedicated folks who help you from sales to service. Olinger Garage Doors, based in Newhall, serving Cedar Rapids and the surrounding areas. The small town guys meeting the big needs of their neighbors. Olinger GarageDoors.com.
If you're thinking about selling your home, now is the time to think about getting that sold sign planted out front ASAP. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about those sold signs. You see, each spring he buys a bunch of them because he plants them in people's yards. Doug has a nice shiny sold sign for your yard, and he plants them faster than a John Deere plants corn in the spring. Time is money, and Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Planting season is almost here.
Choosing the right internet speed can be confusing. 30 megabits? 80 megabits? What do those numbers even mean? I'm On Communications' new Speed Analyzer quiz makes it easy to find the speed you need. Whether you want to browse your favorite sports sites, play a game, or work from home, just answer 4 easy questions about your household internet usage, and I'm On Speed Analyzer will take the guesswork out of finding the perfect internet package. Get your results instantly at imon.net/speed.
How are you going to make money over summer break? Nordstrom. They've got seasonal positions that are perfect for college students like you. You'll stay in their cool climate-controlled building, and there are all kinds of great benefits, including that famous Nordstrom employee discount starting day one. So don't start worrying about how to make money between school years. Just go apply at careers.nordstrom.com and get the ball rolling on a summer job in their fulfillment center. Apply now at careers.nordstrom.com, and you'll be ready to go when school's out.
The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and Jeff Downing acting as our associate producer. Jeff's got his Hawkeye pullover on tonight on the other side of the glass. 319-366-1600 as we put the wraps on another spring of football coverage and get you ready to, well, tread water until Big Ten Football Media Day rolls around in late July. We'll have plenty to talk about between now and then, I promise you. We won't let it get that bad, but it is going to get interesting. It always does this time of year. Once spring football is officially in the books, you've got some things like the Colonels and Iowa baseball, and the NFL draft is going to keep us really busy this week. I have a feeling we'll occupy our time with the guests talking about the draft coming up on Thursday, which, by the way, we will be off at 6 o'clock on Thursday night for coverage of the first round of the NFL draft. We'll have it from the first pick to the last pick of day one. Then on Friday, when we're at the Coach's Corner in Iowa City for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire, we'll be on until 7 o'clock. The draft does start, I believe, 5:30, 6 o'clock before that. So we will join in progress for the second round on Friday at Coach's Corner. Stop on in. It's the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. You can check them out online, lindertire.com. They've got three locations, one in Grinnell, one in North Liberty, and one in Iowa City. They don't just sell tires, by the way. They can pretty much take care of anything that you need done on your car, oil changes, spark plugs, things like that. 319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. We'll check your text out coming up after this Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Iowa's spring game on Friday helped yield a pair of recruiting commitments. First, it was 6'1", 200-pound Green Bay, Wisconsin running back Henry Guile. He's a 2018 recruit, widely regarded as a three-star prospect. And then over the weekend, Iowa garnered the commitment from Holstein offensive lineman Ezra Miller. He's in the 2019 recruiting class, Iowa's first commitment there. He's also the top-ranked player in the state, according to 24/7 Sports. The Cedar Rapids Colonels beat Kane County 11-2 yesterday afternoon at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The win moved the Colonels within two games of the first-place Cougars in the Western Division standings of the Midwest League. Four players homered for Cedar Rapids, including Jalen Davis. He went deep in the third inning, or in the fifth inning, his third of the season. The Colonels face Burlington tonight at 6:35. You've still got about 10 minutes to get out to the ballpark. The Iowa baseball team stumbled over the weekend, dropping two of three games to Rutgers, including the series finale yesterday, 13-5. The Scarlet Knights jumped out to a 10-0 lead in the first five innings. Cole McDonald saddled with the loss. He gave up four earned over two innings of work. Iowa back at it tomorrow. They take on Wisconsin-Milwaukee at Duane Banks Field. And the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders have a new co-president. It's Doug Miller. He previously worked for the Waterloo Blackhawks from 2001 to 2012, named the United States Hockey League's Executive of the Year during his final season in Waterloo.
We haven't gotten to this, and I think we will here shortly, but the Chicago Bulls now tied 2-2 with the Boston Celtics. And Fred Hoiberg was angry with the way that Isaiah Thomas was able to palm the ball and as he says, reset his dribble. At this point, do you think Fred Hoiberg regrets his decision to leave Iowa State?
Oh, nah, because I think career-wise, he really wanted to coach in the NBA. And I think with Gar Forman and John Paxson, he had an opportunity to go in a situation where he was comfortable. We'd played in Chicago where he was friends with those guys. The money obviously is tremendous. He's in year two of the five-year deal. He's going to get paid one way or the other. And it got him out of the college game because he didn't like recruiting. And I think he's happy to be where he's at. He's not happy with the results so far. And he's starting to come under a lot of heavy criticism for some of his decisions that he made over the weekend. You narrowly missed the playoffs last season. This year you get in as an 8 seed. You take the first two games on the road over the Celtics, and then all of a sudden here we are 2 games later. They've won 2 games at the United Center to even the series, and it's due in large part to Hoiberg's coaching.
I think so as well. And obviously, Rajon Rondo being out of the equation doesn't help anything. But the reason I asked that question is, I'm not going to say that I have a great pulse on the NBA, but I check in every once in a while to see what a lot of the people who cover the game really closely are having to say. And by all accounts, and we had Cody Taylor of Basketball Insiders join the show last Friday, by all accounts, it just doesn't seem like him and the NBA game and the way that people think of him are kind of meshing. It seems that he's the butt of a lot of jokes, similarly to the way that Jeff Fisher was in the NFL towards the end of his tenure with the St. Louis, then Los Angeles Rams.
Wow, a Jeff Fisher reference. Fisher comparison. Ouch. Ouch. What did he ever do to you, Alex?
Nothing, but he was once Jeff Fisher became in the limelight in Los Angeles, he all of a sudden became the focus of a lot of gifs, a lot of memes, a butt of a lot of jokes. And I said that he could have been much more, he should have been much more criticized when he was in St. Louis, but nobody cared because the Rams were in St. Louis and they didn't really follow that team closely. But Fred Hoiberg, from everything that I've seen from the beat reporter, as I'll just put it in the terms that Cody Taylor put it, said he seems a lot of times like a deer in headlights.
And on that note, we'll hear from Fred Hoiberg when we come back. The Cubs are in action, taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's a shutout on one side of the scoreboard right now. The other, not so much. We'll tell you whether it's good news or bad news for Cubs fans when we return after this.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post that job to over 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. You can find candidates in any city, in any industry, nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. Right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Jalen. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Jalen.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
Your mind is a blank slate as you enter total relaxation. Safe driver, paperless, multi-car. They are wrapping their savings around you. Like the tinfoil that wraps around your hot dog at a ball game, which for some reason costs $12.50.
Switch to Progressive and surround yourself with savings. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable. it smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's hard.
I think it's quite masculine.
My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam for my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player because they always perform under pressure. And at Valvoline, we too believe performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. So when performance counts, put your engine in the right hands. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. For DIY tips, hot rods, cool merch, and exclusive content, head over to TeamValvoline.com. Join for free today.
6:33, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing to 7 o'clock tonight on 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM, the historic main gym all across eastern Iowa. Maybe you're even listening to us online. Hello, wherever you are, kgymradio.com, and through the KGYM Radio app, which is a free download in both the iTunes and Google Play stores. Get more information online at kgymradio.com. Final 25 minutes of the program tonight. What's on tap tomorrow? We got anything lined up yet? Or are we still
working on that?
That's encouraging.
The rest of the week on Wednesday, Adam Rittenberg of ESPN is going to join us to talk a little bit, to recap spring football. And also on Thursday, Chris M of 670 The Score. We're going to have some draft analysts on intermittently throughout the week. Still trying to get that lined up, and hopefully we'll hear from some beat writers from some of the local teams as well. to preview what some of those guys think the teams that they cover, which direction they're going to go come Thursday and Friday.
The Cubs, we mentioned, are playing right now in Pittsburgh. They're in the bottom of the first inning. Chicago struck for four in the top of the first. Three of them coming on a home run by Jason Hayward.
Starting to hit a little bit.
He's been hitting out of the gate, but he's starting to add power into his game. Third home run of the season for Jay Hay. And it should be noted right now on the mound for the Cubs, Brett Anderson, through two-thirds of an inning, has lowered his season ERA to 4.20. For those of you who joined us
last week.
For those of you who joined us last week, it went over well with some people in the building, other people not so much. The hat tip to April 20th. 3.66, 1600. Bulls and Celtics even now at two games apiece. I've seen the video. Most people have seen the video, and it's really unfortunate because Isaiah Thomas is going through a lot of stuff with the passing of his sister, and I think that was sort of the black cloud hanging over the Celtics in the first two games of the series. And I don't pretend to be the biggest NBA fan in the world, but for the love of God, he's walking with the basketball. He's picking up his dribble, switching hands, and I don't know why this isn't getting called. Now, that being said, I think it's one of the oldest plays in the book for the coach to blame the officiating, because most fans will rally behind the coach when Fred Hoiberg, as you said, with that deer in the headlights look, seems to be completely lost. And then on the other side of the equation, on the other bench, you've got Brad Stevens, who was criticized in the first two games of the series. Stevens all of a sudden is pulling the right lever every single time he makes a lineup adjustment or puts a new body on the floor. He looks like that evil basketball genius that everybody thought he was when the Celtics hired him out of Butler. But here's Fred Hoiberg after game four the other day talking about his problems with the officiating and how Isaiah Thomas has been playing.
Isaiah Thomas is a hell of a player, an unbelievable competitor. He's a warrior, everything he's going through right now. He had a hell of a game tonight. But when you're allowed to discontinue your dribble on every possession, he is impossible to guard. He's impossible to guard when you're able to put your hand underneath the ball and take two or three steps and put it back down. It's impossible to guard him in those situations.
Bulls fans, basketball fans, I think Fred's got a point, doesn't he? 3.66, 1600. And it does make him extremely impossible to guard because you see him pick up the basketball, and I think it doesn't necessarily lead to defenders relaxing, but then he's got the ball in his other hand and he's off and running again. And to me, it just looks like an obvious case of he's carrying the basketball there. To the referees, not so much. And is that a problem for the Bulls? Are they having an issue defending him? Yes, I agree with Fred Hoiberg. He's virtually unguardable when you allow him that behavior. But Isaiah Thomas is not the sole reason why the Bulls have blown a 2-0 lead in that series.
When he says this, the question I ask is, as opposed to who? James Harden is literally unguardable in this league. James Harden is an MVP candidate because they don't call that. That's not something that is legitimately called in the NBA game. This is a question about the culture of officiating in the NBA, what is allowed and what is not allowed, as opposed to something that is unique to Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas, and the other point that's brought up is, where was this in game one and two when the Bulls were winning and Isaiah Thomas was scoring 33 to 40 points a night? But I do think he has a point, and I just wonder if this was just a direct ripoff. Did you see Dave Fizdale, the Memphis Grizzlies coach, after game number two in San Antonio?
Yes, and I know that rant got a lot of airplay over the weekend, and Memphis's players said that they were going to chip in and pay, I believe it was a $30,000 fine for criticizing the officiating. Coaches do this a lot, but this strikes me not so much as a motivational tactic, more so than just Fred coming off kind of like he's whining here, kind of like he's not getting his way, and he wants the officials and the NBA to know it. Now, I haven't seen, presumably he's going to get knocked a little bit by the league because that's a direct criticism of the officiating, but I haven't seen anything with regard to that. Is the series over for the Bulls now that the Celtics have... The ultimate sports radio question. Is the series over for the Bulls now that the Celtics have come from two games back to tie things up? Boston's the one seed for a reason, although a lot of people said they were a very weak, perhaps the weakest one seed. And then the Bulls, a team that just gets in, they don't shoot the ball very well, they steal two on the road. I'm having a hard time believing that this series isn't anything other than all but over for the Bulls.
I think so, absolutely, with this, the fact that Rajon Rondo is out of the lineup for the Chicago Bulls. And I thought that was a bad signing for the Bulls in the offseason, but the dividends that he played early on in that series were undeniable. He was somebody that maybe he wasn't able to completely stop Isaiah Thomas, but he at least slowed him down to the point where he wasn't going to let him single-handedly steal the show and then get anybody else involved in the game. And without him at the point guard position, the Chicago Bulls are relying on Jimmy Butler to carry the show offensively, which is something he is able to do. But when you have that one less piece out there, especially your primary ball handler, it's going to make for a tough time. And I don't think that the Chicago Bulls win another game in this series. I thought coming into the series they'd win one, possibly two. They've gotten to that two in the series, and I think that Boston's going to take it from here. But we'll see if this motivates his team at all. Because as I brought up with Dave Fizdale and the Memphis Grizzlies, after he went on that rant, they won two games at home, and they have tied the series with the San Antonio Spurs 2-2. So that'll be interesting to see if the players kind of rally around Fred Hoiberg, which is something it just seems like they've been reluctant to do since he's come to Chicago from Ames.
Who do I root for in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Alex? Do I jump on the Blues bandwagon and support my co-host, or do I root for the team that I really don't like, but the one that knocked the Blackhawks out of contention?
You could take a team in the East, possibly, right? Or the Edmonton Oilers. Go with a young, budding superstar team. You went with the Islanders last year.
I told Tyler that I was going to jump on the Islanders bandwagon last year after the Blackhawks got bounced in the first round. This year, I'm having a hard time coming to grips with the fact that both Nashville and St. Louis are still playing hockey. And
trust me, too.
And the Blackhawks are out on the 17th green right now.
I'll say this. Learn from your mistakes from last year. Last year, you took the New York Islanders, and they were bounced in the second round. Don't take the St. Louis Blues, because I love this team, but I don't think that they are nowhere near as good as they were last year. Last year, they made it to the Western Conference Finals before being bounced by the San Jose Sharks. I don't think they have the same fate this year. I think Nashville's a little too fast for them. So don't take the St. Louis Blues. Go with a team with a little bit of longevity. And I think the Edmonton Oilers skate by in the second round against the Anaheim Ducks. And I think they have what it takes to beat Nashville. The question is, do you want to go to the Eastern Conference and either take Washington or Pittsburgh and be a real fair-weather fan?
I could totally jump on the Caps bandwagon because they kind of remind me of the Cubs a little bit in the fact that they never have a whole bunch of success to write home about.
Well, that's the Blues too, as you pointed out to me.
I don't know if I have what it takes to root for a Canadian team, eh? I don't know whether I can pull that off. Maybe Sonny in Iowa City could give me some pointers there.
Now, is Sonny a
Connor
Flames?
McDavid is he is a Calgary fan. Okay. I do believe he's mentioned that on the program before. Connor McDavid's a tremendous talent, and I think Tyler and I discussed this a million years ago. Is it okay to wear a jersey of a team and a team that you're not a fan of if you like the player or
absolutely
the jersey? I have always, for whatever reason, I've always wanted an Oilers Wayne Gretzky jersey. I like, as a kid, it was something about the logo and the color combination, and it's freaking Wayne Gretzky, man. And his son played in the Midwest League a couple years ago for the Burlington Bees, and there were a couple games where Wayne was at Community Field down in Burlington, and I wanted to go. I couldn't get down there. And I don't think I'd even bother him for an autograph. I would want to say that I breathe the same air as Wayne Gretzky. I mean, that guy's on the Mount Rushmore.
What's the reaction when he shows up in Iowa? Does he still get?
Well, we lose our minds around here when a fast food chain opens up. When a bona fide celebrity like Wayne Gretzky. Yeah, I think people would lose their mind now. Some people, and this is absolutely terrible, but some people wouldn't even recognize.
That's what I'm saying.
But
I think a lot of people would, but there would be some that, who's that?
It's like my Chicago Fire. They recently signed Bastian Schweinsteiger, who's one of the best German soccer players there is. And the guy is walking around in Chicago right now, and no one knows who he is. No one recognizes him. There was a story in the Tribune about how he can go out and just walk around downtown. Now, if it's Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo or Patrick Kane or any member of the Bulls, they're getting recognized right and left.
Or even Jay Cutler when he was there. Even a mediocre quarterback would be recognized, and no one would have any idea who Bastian Schweinsteiger is. Former German soccer player.
I believe he played for Bayern Munich. I could be wrong on that, but all I know is that my Chicago Fire haven't exactly gotten a boost from his signing. But I've read more on soccer in the last month than I probably have my entire life. But
what would be the reaction if we just had a soccer segment like once every 2 weeks?
I can tell you what my reaction would be.
Mine wouldn't be good either because I couldn't do it, but
we've got hockey guy on the text line. We don't have soccer guy.
I've seen a
no
couple.
No one has ever told us we need to talk more soccer, except during the World Cup. We did have a couple people during the World Cup that were like, why don't you talk more soccer? No. 366-1600, that's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Another $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. Could be yours if you join us tomorrow. We're on the air from 4 until 7. Alex working on getting some guests lined up. I'm sure we'll have some residual carryover from Iowa spring football. Pat Fitzgerald and Chris Collins getting contract extensions at Northwestern. Perhaps we can touch on the news of the day around the Big Ten on Tuesday's program as well. It's 6:47. We'll step aside for the final time today. When we come back, we'll get you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Check in on how the Cubs are doing at Pittsburgh, and then get you out of here for your Monday evening. If it sounds good to you, we'll join you on the other side of this.
This Wednesday's Administrative Professionals Day. Don't forget to show your appreciation to the real boss of the team. Just make one call to the Flower Shop at Cedar Memorial. It's that simple. Their designers have more than 60 years of combined experience and will personally work with you to create the perfect custom arrangement. Then have it delivered or pop in, pick up, and give it to them personally. One call, that's all. To the specialists at the Flower Shop at Cedar Memorial, 393-80.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Associated Materials, one of the largest window manufacturers in the USA, has temp to hire first and second shift production positions open right now in Cedar Rapids. Work first shift and enjoy warm weather nights off, or sleep in and work second shift. With their new progressive pay increases, you'll get a raise every 30 days. And after 90 days on the job, first shift earns $12 an hour and second shift earns $13. Interested? Call 319-390-0600. 319-390-0600.
Hi, Patrick Eads, owner of Deary Ford. I may not have the biggest dealership or the largest inventory, but I can promise you a fast, hassle-free experience with the friendliest people around and our best price up front.
On over 100 sale-priced used cars that come with 3 months, 3,000 miles comprehensive warranty and payments as low as $119 a month with zero down or up to $6,000 off MSRP on new Fusion and Escapes. With more inventory, more financing, and lower rates, you'll drive home in a newer vehicle and have a lower monthly payment than you have now.
Experience the way car buying should be at Deary Ford Iowa City or online at DearyFord.com.
6:49 back with you. I am asking people on Twitter at Todd Brommelkamp, could Wayne Gretzky walk around downtown Cedar Rapids without being recognized? I think the chances are that maybe the answer to that would be yes. He's not in a disguise, okay? He's his present age. He's just walking around downtown Cedar Rapids. Would people know who Wayne Gretzky was?
Somebody eventually would, but my question would be, how long would it take for Wayne Gretzky to be recognized and walking around in downtown Cedar Rapids?
That's a better question. How long would it take for someone to recognize him? Because you get the right guy.
Yes, there are some hockey fans out there, and he's very, by far the most recognizable face.
I pull up in front of La Cantina, and he's walking down the street with his wife or something. I'm going to be like, holy cow, it's the great one. But a lot of other people be like, that guy kind of looks a little out of place here. Looks a little too L.A. for Cedar Rapids. By the way, I hear he's very accommodating to fans, at least the people that ran into him over the years when he was following his son, who I don't think is active in the Angels farm system anymore. He was drafted by the Cubs originally and then traded to the Angels for Mike Socha's kid. And a straight-up famous father for not quite that famous, but still famous father trade.
Apparently, his son and Joe Montana's son and Will Smith's son all played on the same high school football team. Could you imagine Friday nights at that game? Will Smith, Joe Montana, Wayne Gretzky, all on the same sideline cheering for their kids on one team. How many autographs do you think were asked for each Friday night?
Out there, probably not a whole lot, because those people see celebrities all the time. Whereas opposed to Nate Kading once had to sign a piece of cardboard for a kid in the meat department at the North Liberty Fairway because he was so struck that Nate Kading had walked into the fairway in North Liberty. Kid you not, true story. 6:52, let's get a Midwest One Bank Big Board update in. Before we part ways tonight, the Pirates managed to take one run back in the bottom of the first inning. So how have the Cubs responded? They're batting still in the second inning. They've added three more runs. Cubs up 7-1 on the Pirates right now, looking like a victory may be in the cards there. Iowa wound up getting not one but two recruiting commitments over the weekend on the heels of its Friday night spring game. The first came from 6'1", 200-pound Green Bay, Wisconsin running back Henry Guile. He's rated as a three-star recruit by most services. Then Iowa garnered 2019 commitment Ezra Miller. The Holstein offensive lineman is ranked as the top player in the state, according to 24/7 Sports. Cedar Rapids Colonels beat Kane County 11-2 yesterday afternoon at Veterans Memorial Stadium. That win moved the Colonels within two games of the first-place Cougars in the Western Division standings. Four Colonels homered, including Jalen Davis. He hit his third home run of the season in the fifth inning. Colonels taking on the Burlington Bees tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The Iowa baseball team stumbled over the weekend. They dropped 2 of 3 to Rutgers, including yesterday's finale 13-5. The Scarlet Knights jumped out to a 10-0 lead in the first five innings. Hawkeyes will be back at it tomorrow. They take on Wisconsin-Milwaukee at Duane Banks Field. And the Rough Riders announced today Doug Miller will join their front office as co-president of the team. He used to work for the Waterloo Blackhawks for 11 seasons, former USHL Executive of the Year. So a nice addition to the Blackhawks, or to the, it's been a long day, to the Rough Riders front office. Speaking of long days, Scott Unesh and Mark Dukes are in for one on Wednesday. It's the very first Lunchbox Heroes of the Year, built by Pros, the presenting sponsor for that. A big thank you to all of our sponsors, but especially to Built by Pros for doing this now, year number three, as we go out and about in the corridor to say thank you to everybody who works in the construction and building trades industry for making this such a fantastic place to live. And I think back on a lot of the projects that we've stopped at, the CRST building in downtown Cedar Rapids, the Children's Hospital in Iowa City, and here we are a couple years later, even months later in some instances, and to see these projects completed and how fantastic and amazing they are, and to know that we played just a tiny little itty-bitty part in that, in making life good for the workers. For one day, we show up with some free food and some free stuff, and occasionally somebody will call an excavator an excavator, and everybody can have a good laugh, and we're all on our way. So details on Lunchbox Heroes available at our website, kgymradio.com.
I really hope that's not me this year. I know how embarrassing that was for Tyler, and I thought it was funny, but he took that pretty hard.
I wasn't going to say who said it.
He took that one pretty hard, and I'm pretty sure, especially with my, what was the word that I butchered on this program when we were, I'm trying to think about, oh yeah, ace tone.
Acetone.
Yeah. I called it ace tone. Yeah. That was embarrassing.
Happens to the best of us. Cajun Troy, by the way, says that she would definitely recognize Wayne Gretzky if he was walking around downtown Cedar
I believe
Rapids.
It.
She's a big sports fan.
She is.
I'm talking like Michael Jordan walks downtown Cedar Rapids. Even people who aren't sports fans are going to recognize him. Gretzky's on that level in his sport, but the sport is less popular. Does he still get recognized?
I think it would take about... Let's just say he's walking in downtown Cedar Rapids, a normal traffic night. Let's just say it's after like 8 p.m. where there's more people in the downtown area. People are flooding in and out of bars. I'll say it takes him 20 minutes to get recognized.
20 minutes? I'll take the under on that.
10 minutes?
Jeff Johnson at the Cedar Rapids Gazette says, yes, Wayne Gretzky could walk around Cedar Rapids and not be recognized. Jeff Johnson says yes, and that's really sad. This is on Twitter at Todd Brummelkamp. Wanted to give myself something to do tonight. Watch people respond to this and tell me that I'm an idiot for asking that question.
We'll have the results tomorrow.
Even though there were plenty of people in Burlington, Iowa when Wayne Gretzky was at a Burlington Bees game who had no idea who he was.
I think it's a great question.
Cubs are now up 9-1 on the Pirates. Jason Hayward with four RBI. My bad. That's runs batted in. You don't need to pluralize with the S on the end. 319-366-1600. Coming up tomorrow on the program, let's just call it what it is. A work in progress. We'll give you an update. Follow along with us on Twitter at Todd Brummelkamp, at Alex Kuhn 523, and at KGYM Radio. For Jeff Downing, Alex Kuhn, I'm Todd Brummelkamp. Thanks for listening tonight. We've got ESPN programming on the way for you. Stay up to date with us, KGYMradio.com, and don't forget, vote in the Emil's Hideaway poll question as well.
So you own your own business. Got small ambitions for this business? Of course you don't. Got medium ambitions for this business? Of course you don't. Who has medium ambitions? You got big ambitions. If you're a growing business with big ambitions, you want to grow with Grainger. Grainger has the products, the services, and more importantly, the commitment you need. Total commitment. If you're a growing business, Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Napa know how.